The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. Final hour has arrived. It was Pro Day in Lexington today. We had a chance to catch up earlier with Mark Stoops. And as some of you know, it was Pro Day in Lexington today. Will Levitt's bringing a lot of the NFL top brass, in fact, all of them, frankly, to see him play. A lot of comparisons to another great quarterback from a few years ago, Josh Allen. Let's talk to the head coach, Mark Stoops. Coach, always great to see you. Thank you very much for joining us. So how'd it go today?
It went good, Paul. I was really excited to welcome a whole bunch of people. It was one of our largest pro days, and we've been gaining some traction over the past few years and getting quite a few people here. And obviously with Will and all the other seniors we have, it was a really good day, and I think he's going to go very high. How high? I don't really know. Things happen for a reason. You know, wherever Will goes to, he will be successful. You know, what can you ask for, you know, other than that? And he's going to have a great opportunity. Somebody's going to get a heck of a football player, but even more impressive person. We can't say enough good things about him. We thank him for what he's done for us, and can't wait to just help him get to this next point, the next level, and see what he does.
Coach, the attention of today, and obviously 5 weeks from now at the draft, is significant for your program. You've had other great players, of course, but what does it mean? What is the ripple down effect on your program, especially just in terms of, you know, the brand and in the future related to recruiting?
I think it does nothing but help. There was just great exposure today. As I mentioned, I think there's been a buzz for a couple weeks, and you know, with the draft coming up, again, I'm quite confident that Will go high. And it does nothing but help. I'm just so proud of all of our players. There's so many guys out there working today that it's hard to discuss and talk about each and every one of them, but they've done an awful lot for Kentucky, and you mentioned the brand, and for us, and, you know, all those guys that may go down the line, whether it's second round or lower, you know, all the way down to any free agents that we have. We just have great appreciation for them. It's been fun to have so many pro organizations here and important people in their organizations here, and just talking about Kentucky football. And I love visiting with them, spending time with them, and greatly appreciate the respect that they have for our program and what we've done.
Well, Coach, in the time we have left, I would like to talk about spring drills. They're underway for a couple weeks. You will not have the game at the end of spring because of renovations. So tell us how it's gone. You have your offensive coordinator back from a couple of years ago that went to the NFL, and what's it look like?
Yeah, very excited to have Liam back. Obviously, that's a lot to talk about, you know, and we're very excited about that. Our players are excited, and you know, it's been very smooth. It was good to have him here and in place. You know, he's been through this once. I think that helps. He knows the things that worked and were successful early for him the last time, and things that maybe took some time. You know, more experience just coming back from the NFL and them going through a tough year with injuries and obstacles and things to overcome in L.A., I just think it helps with his growth. And so I think he's even more prepared right now than he was the last time he was here. And offensively, we're doing some really good things already. I think we have some young players that are growing up on the offensive side of the ball that are difference makers that really need to have a great spring. I think we're in better position at the offensive line. You know, we lost three pros from the year before, and so last year we got caught a little thin. And that caught up to us at times. I think we've addressed that. And defensively, led by Brad White, our defensive coordinator, who's just outstanding. He's been with us for 5 or 6 years now, and Brad just does a phenomenal job. And, you know, the players love playing around him, and we're always going to be solid there. And we continue to grow on that side of the ball as well. And made a hire in special teams coordinator, Jay Bulware. That I'm very excited about. We needed to address some areas in the special teams, and we're getting after that. So all things are going well, and we're excited about the future.
Coach, finally, it's a question that every SEC head coach is being asked, and a lot of them really are tired of hearing it, but it's going to keep coming up, and that's about the future and the scheduling that will go into effect next year. It hasn't been approved yet, but any thoughts on what is to come in 24?
I really haven't put much thought into it. They haven't asked my opinion on it. And, when the time comes, for the vote, whether it be the presidents, the athletic directors, or the head coach, whatever's best for the league, I think, I'm good with. I mean, we're always up for the challenge. We know competing in this league and coming from where we came from at Kentucky, we're always up for a fight. We're down with whatever they put in front of us. It's never easy. And we'll continue to evaluate all those things and do what's best.
Hey, welcome back. Let's continue with Dennis up next in Tennessee. Hello, Dennis.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
Oh, you're talking to me now?
Yes, I am, Dennis. This is Paul.
I've been hosting the Paul Feinbaum show forever.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you trying.
Okay. Paul, I've been trying to call you since 2008.
Hope, by the way, and, Dennis, I hope it wasn't urgent.
Well, no, I Tennessee football and everything.
Sure.
Wow, I see you on my TV now.
Yeah, that's. Paul Feinbaum show usually every afternoon right here.
What I would like to know from you, Paul, you've been an alumni.
Yes, sir.
What do you think Tennessee's where's it going to go?
Well, Dennis. I think Tennessee athletics are in great shape. You have a premier baseball program, a premier football program. The women's basketball team is superb. The men's basketball team was in the Sweet 16. I think there were a lot of mistakes made over the last 20 years from a chancellor position, a president's position, an AD's position. And I think for the first time in memory, the university has stabilized.
Well, I think the women's basketball team was great. That's where she was from, is Sevierville.
Yeah, well, I feel very good, Dennis, about where things are. When I was up there a couple of months ago, it felt it was a different feeling. And I've been going to Tennessee now for most of my lifetime. Hey, thank you for the call. I'm glad you finally got in. Miss Pat is up next.
Hey, Paul. I hope Dennis wasn't on hold too long. But the reason I called was I wanted to ask you something about the brackets. Okay, if Dustin and AJ were not good enough to go against I-Man, you got lots of callers out there. Why didn't you put somebody else in so I would have an option of someone to vote against I-Man then instead of waiting to the next round to vote against him?
Well, Ms. Pat, we felt like they were at the bottom of the bracket. So therefore they
but
were in a play-in game.
But
we also felt, I say we, I'm speaking for the committee, Randy, yes. Jamari, Grams, and others, that the two of them tried so hard to be cute that it turned off the committee, and we took a unanimous vote today, 4-3, to kick them out.
they were on the – they shouldn't have been there in the first place.
It was a seating issue. We probably should have thought about it, but we were trying to throw both of them a lifeline, and it ended up being a mistake, and we regret the error, and we wish them both well in their future endeavors.
Okay, Ben. Well, are you going to hang up on me tonight? I really don't have anything else to say. Should I go first?
By the way, I want to say something to you. You really impressed me yesterday with what you said about your husband. That stuck with me.
My husband is the number one, A1 person in the world. He really is.
I was impressed with what he had done in Vietnam and obviously since then. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Pat.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
Bye.
Since I just trashed him, I'm going to give him a chance to respond since AJ is back again. AJ, did we miss something earlier during that conversation?
Master Feinbaum, I would cordially like to invite you to refrain from that click button. I was up against a click button, clearly. It wasn't a money-making break that pays the show. Paul, I just wanted to make a point. I was trying to finish my call to make a point because you said, you know, he never makes a point. No, didn't bring anything to the table. All I was going to say at the end of that, as I was waiting and waiting and waiting for the election, I didn't know what to do. I was discouraged. So I picked up the phone and I called my man, Bo Jackson, because if anything, Bo knows. And Bo says, AJ, I went in there. I know what's happening. He said, I went in there to vote for you. And he said, Feinbaum done you like Bear Bryant done me a long time ago. He passed me up. And I said, well, Bo, I said, what do I do in this situation? He says, well, you know, I was quoted a couple months ago, AJ, in reference to the Deion Sanders possibility of going to Alabama at one point in time. And he said that I said, it's not the fact, is Deion ready for Alabama? It's, is Alabama ready for Deion? And he said, I'm going to parallel that with you, AJ. He said, it's not the fact that AJ is ready for the Feinbaum show, but the Feinbaum show is not ready for AJ. War Eagle, Paul.
Breaking news. AJ has been suspended from next year's caller bracket after that phone call. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. Final 45 minutes or so, and let's check out Jim in Baton Rouge. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Bob. Real quick, I know you're having to work today, so I'm going to be quick. I got some questions for you, and I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
First of all, is what did you think when you heard about this NIL before it even started? What was your thoughts then? Secondly, now that NIL is going on, what are your personal thoughts of it happening now? Third, now that what is the future of the NIL? Is there going to be more rules? What's going to happen? And I'm not talking about Congress because Matt talked about that already. And fourth, what power is happening to the NCAA? Is it good, bad? What's going to happen with the NCAA on this? And I'm going to hang up and I'm going to listen.
Okay, thank you
very
much.
Great show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll start with the NCAA. The NCAA has lost almost all of its power. It still runs the NCAA basketball tournament, makes money off of it. It has a place, but it is a dramatically diminished place in intercollegiate athletics. The power lies now with the super conferences, the SEC, the Big Ten in particular. As far as NIL, I think it was overdue because if it had not occurred, there was going to be more lawsuits by players and talks of unions, and ultimately they would have gotten what they wanted. It's chaotic. I frankly think the transfer portal is a bigger issue than NIL. The thing that is so bizarre about NIL is that something could have been done about it years ago, but the NCAA and everyone else refused to deal with it, and they kept putting it off and pushing it under the rug and kicking the can, and it finally blew up on them. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Susie is up next. Hello, Susie.
Good Friday afternoon, Paul.
Thank you.
Couple questions, if you would. First, before the question, with that last caller, and many callers will say, I've got a couple questions, I'm going to hang up. Sometimes I wish Larry and Jim would call and just say, I have a couple questions for you, and I'm going to hang up, and then just let you you talk. Doesn't seem to happen this week, but interesting week for you. First question, Coach Barnes, my disappointed, heartbreaking Tennessee fan today, but I'm mad. I'm a mad fan. You know, we should have been able to do it, and we didn't. And I'm tired of we shouldn't be able to do it, and we didn't. Do you think Coach Barnes is going to come into question as a coach anytime?
Yes, I do. I think when you look at his NCAA record in recent years, it's open. It opens criticism. And it's not losing. Getting to the Sweet 16 is an accomplishment for most programs. It's losing to the double-digit seeds. It's losing to lower seeds. That irritates my friends who I hear from.
Me.
And it's the in-game coaching, and it's the decision-making. And I realize I don't mean for it to sound harsh. I happen to really like him personally.
I do too.
And I think overall he's been a fantastic coach for Tennessee. There's more to it than Marge, but unfortunately this season reminded me a little bit of four years ago. Yeah, with Schofield and Grant Williams when they lost to Purdue.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they were. They may have been a two seed. That was the season they were number one. It just felt the same, even though they lost to an inferior team yesterday. It just seemed like a rerun of that.
It's a repeat and a repeat, and yeah. Okay, thank you on that. The other one is, you know, with all the combine and with the quarterbacks and that you've been talking this week, what happens to somebody like Hooker who is injured and he can't go, right, to the combine? Is he still possibly?
They know what he's capable of, and you know he's coming back now, and they'll still meet with him, they'll still talk to him. He's projected in the second round, and I think the question is, you know, had he not been hurt, would he have been any higher? I don't think so. He's come a long way. If you go back 3 or 4 years, the idea that Hendon Hooker would be even in this conversation is significant. I think he's a steal in the second round. I really like him a lot. Thank you very much for the call. John is up next. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Very well.
Quick question for you. I've been thinking about the idea of I'd like your thoughts, obviously, is can an SEC program be top tier in basketball and football at the same time? And I know your immediate pushback would be see Alabama this year. And as a dog fan, you know, I won't say they're on the wane. They're a great competitor. But I'd love to get your thoughts on that in terms of, is it a zero-sum game in terms of being able to recruit?
I think it's possible. And I mean, the easiest thing to point to would be, 15, 17 years ago when Florida did it in both sports in the same year. It's extremely difficult to do, but by no means is it impossible. And I think the country could be in for a shock if Alabama gets out of this regional this weekend, because I mean other than the Miller stories, I think the idea that Alabama has the best basketball team in the country in the same calendar, in the same school year that they had the number one preseason football team, is pretty remarkable. So I once looked into this for an article I did. It's a long time ago, and I do remember in the research finding very few programs that are in the I'm not talking about top 20. I'm talking about the top five in both.
Yeah. Gotcha. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Really good call. Thanks a lot. Brad is up next in Destin. Hello, Brad. Good to see you the other day.
How you doing, Paul? How you doing today?
We're doing great, Brad. Thank you.
I was going to take you back in time. You remember the old days of the athletic dorms?
I sure do.
I thought you did. You would come over and have lunch and interview the players at Bryant Hall and all. And do you know that?
Hey, Brad, do you know what I liked about that more than anything else? And at the time, I was heavier. It was the food.
That's correct.
For a sports writer like me who was making literally nothing, the idea that I could go through the same training table as the players was a big deal.
Exactly. I can remember seeing you standing between Cornelius Bennett and John Hand and some of those guys. But do you know that there were very – I know that, you know, they did away with athletic dorms years ago because, you know, a bunch of schools that didn't care a whole lot about athletics said that the players didn't get a chance to be a, quote, regular student. And if you'll remember years ago, Coach Bryant said, well, football players are and basketball players are not regular students. But, you know, I can attest that there was never – we never had a kid arrested when we had the – that I know of, that when we had the athletic dorms, because they had a curfew at 11 o'clock. Now, is that too much babysitting? I don't know. What's your opinion there?
No, and I remember when this debate came up, I remember Pat Dye was one of the most vocal people, Stallings, you know, people you would expect who were part of
Danny
a different
Ford.
Era. Danny, and I think we all were, none of us were sure because it was a different time, but it turned out to be one of the biggest mistakes the NCAA's ever made, and I think... You understand it better because you were a coach and you worked at the dorms and you can attest. Yeah. But I think that is a big part that has been lost today in college athletics. And there was just something about it. I know some guys want to live off campus and that's okay if you're married or whatever. But I think it affected the team concept. Dramatically.
Well, you can, you know, as far as the team camaraderie, you know, when you live with the guy and, you know, you're all together after practice and, you know, you're
I mean, by the way, you're there, I mean, these guys are still together. They're just not together in a dorm.
That's exactly right. But I just wanted to get your opinion on that. And I do
Brad, You take me back to those days. I still remember that. Yeah, but you just have no idea. And by the way, I remember at Auburn, Dye would come over and sit with us sometimes. I don't remember Coach Bryant doing that. You'll have to help.
No, well, Perkins was. Of course, I was under Perkins,
right.
And you know, he would come over there, you know, occasionally. But you know,
I'll ever tell you the story on Ray. One day we had dinner. He was a coach at Alabama, succeeded Brian. I'll tell the story quickly. And he gave me he said, here's my private number. This is before cell phones. And I said, are you sure? He said, I wouldn't give it to you if I didn't want you to have it. And then like 3 weeks later, Brad, we had like the media days where all the sports writers would come down. He gave it out to the entire group, and I'm thinking that guy is exactly who I thought he was.
You thought you were special.
I thought I was like the only sports writer in America that had Ray Perkins' private line, and then he gives it out to every schmo that ever lived. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against the break. Coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back, and let's talk to Jim, who is up next.
Keep it clean, Paul, but I'm going to say this about that godless fool, Logan. He's a piece of you-know-what, and I don't care whether you think I'm a Christian or not. I know what I am. Doesn't matter. Paul, I'm going to try to keep it clean after that, though. Here's what I'm saying. AJ, you got that right. The committee, I give the full endorsement to the committee. They got it nailed down right. He thinks he's so he tries to be cute, and he's worse than silly. He's just sickening. I mean, sickening the way he tries to act. And the way it's just phony and, well, I don't even need to talk about it. It's just horrible. But I want to comment about one thing. I like Miss Pat now. I like her. I think she's doing well. I hope she gets in another bracket or whatever. I'm pulling for Miss Pat. And I hope she calls more. We had a problem early on, blocking me, blocking her, block, block, block. I'll open my Twitter if she wants to come back, and I'll follow her. I like Miss Pat. I think she does a good
job. Glad to hear positivity here on a Friday afternoon.
Absolutely, and it's getting close to Easter, and I do.
Yeah. When is Easter? Is that in 2 weeks? I think it is. I think we're 2 weeks away from Good Friday.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't guess anything will be said about the Monsignor. He doesn't care for me anymore. I could tell that from the call.
No. Hold on a second.
No, I can tell, Paul. I read good. I read real good. He went to he went to the sycophant guy, your buddy, and you know me, Paul.
I'm trying to remember. We're talking about Archbishop Marino, and did you talk to him?
And he credited.
Hold on a second. He mentioned Legend when he was on the show, but Jim, I can tell you, and I've told you this before. I have never been with Archbishop Marino where he did not bring you up.
Well, yeah, but in what way?
He remembers, I think, the very first time that you two talked when I introduced him as.
I'm glad you brought it out of me. You know how to bring it out of me. You know how to bring negative and positive out of me. But if you quit stepping on this. Part of the call,
sorry,
I'm going
to
tell you,
I didn't mean to interrupt.
I've always liked him. I've always, and I'm going to tell you, I feel like, I know God gave me a gift of sensitivity, and I have sensed from day one that he's real. I'm going to tell you something, Paul. I was around a lot of Catholics as a young guy, and they scared me, and I didn't like them, and I think some of them were of the other place that people go, but I don't think he was. I think he's of the real thing, and I thought so from the start.
Well, he appreciates you, Jim, and here's why. You guys got into a debate about theology, and he's one of the most respected experts on that and canon law and everything. And
well,
and he gave an answer to something, and you said you don't know what you're talking about, and he really thought that was funny.
Well, no, but I didn't think he did at the time, and I don't know about now, but I do think he knows what he's talking about when it comes to spiritual matters. That I was dubious of.
The guy used to work outside the Pope's office at the Vatican.
Well, I don't have any respect for the Pope, Paul, if you want to know the truth.
Well,
I got no respect.
There you go. What do you have against Pope Francis?
Well, I'm not going to get into that, but, that's just my opinion. That's just all. It's opinion show, and I'm just telling the truth. And a lot of people feel that way, A lot of priests feel that way that I know of about that guy in Rome.
Jim, that guy in Rome,
there's no holy men in Rome.
What are you talking about?
There's no holy men.
That guy in Rome?
There's no holy men, period.
Jesus said, you got me started. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? None is good but my Father in heaven. Read your Bible, Paul. Sorry for the Bible study, but you bring it out of me. That's what Jesus replied to somebody that asked him when they said, good master. And he said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but my Father in heaven. Period.
Well, okay. Well, I don't want to step on a good call.
No, I'm just, you check it out if you want to. It's
I don't need to check it out, Jim. I trust you.
All right, thank you.
That guy in Rome?
That guy in Rome. You know these guys.
I mean, listen, I don't, I'm, you know, Your own religion is your own religion, but this is one of the, well, not one of these, probably the most, well, let's say one of the most respected religious figures in the world. He's not just that guy in Rome. I mean, that's just some guy. This is not that guy. Wow.
That guy's not holding the
tip. Ronnie is up next. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello, Mr. Powell. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much.
You've had a light day compared to yesterday.
Yeah, it's been easy.
But I was going to call about Coach O at Ole Miss.
Yes.
The lady Rebels. She's a very humble lady. And they play Louisville, and Louisville's going to be hard to handle, I think.
Yeah, that's a really tough game. It's always hard. First of all, they've been out on the West Coast for a week now. I love her. She's fantastic. We have had some just amazing interviews, and I'm just really glad to know that she's finally getting the recognition that she deserves. Hey, thank you for the call. We do appreciate it. Let's check in with Anthony in Houston. Hello, Anthony. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I just got a couple things to say here. If I ever referred to the Pope as that guy in Rome, my mom would probably slap me through this phone. And I don't know about you, but it wouldn't be a good thing.
No, I would be sentenced to a form of premature death.
Exactly. And going back to the NIL things here. I was watching the LSU versus Arkansas baseball game today, and Ben McDonald referred to Dylan Cruz as one of the best amateur baseball players in the game.
That's fine.
Now, if we're going to refer to college athletes as amateurs, I think that's a great idea for paying our athletes in college on NIL deals. I don't think we can't refer to them as amateur players.
No,
if we're
you
not
can't.
Pay them.
You know, I understand the student athlete. That's just baked into the lexicon of college sports, even though it's openly debatable. But they are no longer amateurs. That is a fact.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. So I think that's one of the things we should look at. And Paul, one last thing here before I disconnect. Who has the greatest upset tonight? San Diego State, Princeton? What do you think?
We're not allowed to discuss San Diego State possibly upsetting Alabama. That would be verboten. We'll take a short break. We're back final few minutes right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.